We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Leonard Fournette remains a Buck. Curtis Samuel and Ryan Fitzpatrick will team up in Washington, and the Bills' backfield got more crowded. We're talking all that and more on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz. We have a fun show lined up this episode. We're reacting to more of the free agency moves. Tomorrow, we will be talking prospects. Then we have a couple more interesting discussions coming up on Friday. So, to put it in perspective there, our new schedule for the shows, we will be dropping on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Really pumped to have three episodes coming out each week. Some interesting notes today, Curtis. It looks like we are going to be going to a 17-game NFL season. How are you doing, and what do you think of the move to 17 games?
I've not wrapped my head around it yet, but I know. So good football, or more football, is always a good thing. There's no doubt about that. But I'm also a little worried. I mean, we see like Alvin Kamara is already leaking out there. I don't know about all this. And I wonder how hard the players will push back, how many teams might, you know, bake in a rest game. I think it's exciting from like a DFS perspective. There's more slates to play. But I think in like season long, whether it's dynasty or season like lineup setting type leagues that aren't best ball, definitely going to be some headaches we're going to have to adjust to. I really don't think it can be anything worse than like the COVID adjustments when we didn't have like any camp news or anything like that last year. I think we're a flexible community and we'll figure it out. But yeah, certainly if you're a dynasty commissioner or a redraft commissioner, probably going to have your hands full with going back to the league bylaws this year.
Well, as a person that has to spend a lot of time in apps and working with data, I can tell you, I hate this maneuver.
Oh.
Because this means now in every app that is looking at things in terms of weeks, we're going to have to put in some logic that tells it going 2021 forward, you know, if you see week 18, that actually was a regular season game. All kinds of madness. I am not a fan of this. Then the comparability piece of it is going to be annoying. This is a huge headache. I am all for more football, but I do think that the benefits of the one extra game might not outweigh the cons for me personally, which is very upsetting.
Well, I just thought of a huge pro in terms of the way that we look at fantasy output for players. I think we will finally get to a point where we normalize points per game as the relevant fantasy scoring metric, right? No more end of year raw fantasy point total touting. It's going to force us to look at things on a per game perspective. So I think that might be, you know, there's some silver lining there. You know, some other big news, Dave, that I yep. would like to drop this week. Our listeners and the fantasy community, they're going to start to see something called RotoViz TriFlex Dynasty Leagues on FFPC. That's right. RotoViz will have its own Dynasty Leagues on the FFPC. Really, really cool. Dave and I will have a chance to kind of roll everyone through specific strategies for these types of leagues, but they're gonna be $77 and $250 price points. We think that those will sell like hotcakes. I know I'm going to be in quite a few. So if you want to play against me, be looking for those in the lobby. But this is very, very exciting. We'll only find more ways, you know, to leverage our RotoViz tools for the FFPC fantasy platform now that we have our own Dynasty Leagues. Pretty cool stuff, Dave.
Yeah, this is huge. Like, this is awesome, not only because I love the format. We definitely had some input into how these leagues would be set up. I think they're things that are going to allow people that have been reading RotoViz, that subscribe to RotoViz, to really position themselves in a league that plays to their strengths. And I know I have been desperate every year, and I'm pretty sure people heard me talking about the show, the fact that I might make the change to just going purely best ball leagues in 2021. That is not going to happen. I have been waiting, and I almost broke down a couple of times and signed up for some startups, but no, I've been waiting just for these leagues. I am going to be signing up for a lot of these, so I can't wait to just start breaking this down even more. But I mean, this is just super exciting.
Yeah, for those of you, just kind of wrap this up and move on to the content for this show. For those of you that have been reading my recent Dynasty pieces, I've kind of just been leaving little hints in the intros to those articles. You know, some of the key takeaways here: super flex only. We're not offering a one QB option. I mean, it's 2021. It's time to get on with the super flex and then also the tight end premium. You know, we think that those are really the settings that make for the best fantasy setup. But the thing that's different for those who are used to the FFPC standard starting lineup, we are going to force three starting wide receivers. So it's going to totally change roster construction. And then you still also have two flexes. So you could either start four running backs or five receivers. So people are going to be able to build in any direction they want. That's that tri-flex piece. That's technically, I guess you could start six wide receivers if you want to forego a super flex. But this is going to allow for people who have liked the My Fantasy League, you know, typical, you know, 1-2-3-1 format along with flexes, or for people who just don't like to invest in running backs, it's going to also have a way to play, and it's going to drive wide receiver value up in FFPC, which is one of the biggest complaints that I've seen from people over the years on the format, is that, you know, you kind of have to treat running backs like at redraft value and then everyone else is at dynasty. This is going to flip that on its head. So really, really exciting. Was fun to work on that project with the team over at FFPC, a bunch of great people over there. And we think you're going to like the product. So, hey, with that, Dave, what do we have for the show today?
All right, today we are going to hit some fantasy headlines. We're going to do a quick price check drop. Oh, a quick price check. I will be doing the price check drop, which I'm looking forward to. We also have a lightning round lined up. But let's start right now with some fantasy headlines. I believe you were very excited about this move. I'm having trouble not getting too hyped up. That is, Curtis Samuel and Ryan Fitzpatrick are headed to Washington. Curtis, talk us through what this means for Samuel and Fitzpatrick. And then I also want to know how this impacts Terry McLaurin.
Oh, man. Yeah, we could probably do a whole show on the Washington football team for 2021. I think this offense is going to be so fun, so explosive, and there's a lot of familiarity here if we start with Curtis Samuel. So coming over from Carolina, of course, Washington football team basically is kind of Carolina football north now. And so Samuel's reunited with Ron Rivera, got to work a little bit with Scott Turner, you know, toward the end of 2019. When he took over as the offensive coordinator, as Rivera left the season kind of early. So Turner was the quarterback's coach there for that entire season, very familiar with Samuel's skill set. And, you know, hey, dating back to his Ohio State days, this is a guy that I've just been very, very excited about. Extremely athletic, He can do all kinds of things, you know, with jet sweeps and motion and great yards after catch guy. The team didn't really use him properly in recent years, but he still found his way. I mean, he had over 200 PPR points, you know, in 2020, really started to have that breakout that has been, you know, just right on the cusp since he entered the league. Now he gets to team up with Fitzmagic on a team in Washington where, I mean, geez, I mean, their wide receiver two only had 48 targets last year. It was Cam Sims. That's like a bar bet question. I highly doubt very many people could tell you Cam Sims was a wide receiver two in targets in Washington last year. And the team funneled 110 targets to something called JD McKissic. 110. So, I mean, Samuel really steps into a place where there's literally nothing in his path from being the automatic wide receiver two. And really, I mean, I think every single one of those JD McKissic targets would be better spent on Curtis Samuel. I'm sure the team feels the same. So that's very exciting. I think he's walking into some volume. Now, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's very exciting what he's done over the last couple of seasons. He's like aging like fine wine, man. Over the last two seasons, so dating back to week one of 2019, he's actually been a fantasy QB1 in 50% of his starts. And he's been a fan. Yeah, 50%. You know who else has been a fantasy QB1 in 50% of games since the beginning of 2019? Tom Brady, like, and Russell Wilson. Okay. Yep. This is like the type of production Fitz has given us. And he's also been a QB2 in 25% of starts. Basically, the times that he wasn't a QB2 or better were games where he like got pulled. And you know, in Miami, we had a couple of situations and also in Tampa where we're kind of jockeying around those last 2 years and he didn't play full games. So, you know, that's actually kind of just noise in the sample. He's been rock steady, and McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Antonio Gibson, Logan Thomas. This is an exciting offense all of a sudden. Now, the last guy you asked me to talk about there, Terry McLaurin, I think the team very much has defined what his role is in the offense. I mean, he's the playmaker, and it really has not mattered which quarterback's been in the game. The team is scheming for McLaurin, you know, the same. And so to illustrate this, you know, I'm using one of our GOAT tools over there on the site, the Game Splits app. And I just looked at 2020. You know, we know Dwayne Haskins was kind of in and out of there. The team, you know, played, I think, four different quarterbacks. Taylor Heinicke and Alex Smith also played. Maybe there weren't three. And I just looked at Dwayne Haskins played and then games out of split without Dwayne Haskins. And I mean, it's really uncanny. McLaurin averaged 15.02 PPR with Haskins and 15.08 without him. So basically the difference of one fantasy point over, you know, an extrapolation to 16 games in a full season. The receptions, uncannily the same. Paced for 93 receptions with Haskins, paced for 92 receptions with QBs not named Haskins. And then in targets was the one small drop off. He actually averaged one target fewer per game without Dwayne Haskins. And the yardage dropped off just a little bit, but he had a small uptick in touchdowns to offset. All that stuff's basically noise. The team is going to, you know, keep Terry McLaurin in that alpha spot. He had a 25% team target market share. That's good for wide receiver 9 in the NFL. And he's a top 24 in yak per reception as well. So no reason to feel anything but excited for McLaurin, who now gets his best quarterback of his career and the talent level of his surrounding teammates has increased as well. So wheels up on Curtis, wheels up on Ryan. Really, really like this squad. Anything stick out to you there on the WFT there, Dave?
I mean, I think it really just touches upon what you mentioned. I think this is good for players all around. And I also view Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of similar to a quarterback like Jameis Winston, who there's some issues maybe from a real team perspective, but there's a lot of upside when they're playing for you. And for the fantasy receivers that they have, it is just a huge thing for them to be playing with them. And I also think McLaurin kind of reminds me a little bit of a player like DeAndre Hopkins in that they might just be quarterback proof to some extent. So I am happy. I am happy about these guys.
Man, I like that. I like the comp to DeAndre Hopkins there in QB proof with Terry F1 McLaurin. All right, well, let's move on to another spot in the league, another high-flying offense from last year. Dave, so Leonard Fournette stays in Tampa. This is probably not great. This kind of holds two guys down here.
Yep.
But can you get any sense of what then for Rojo, Ronald Jones?
Okay, so this is not great for Ronald Jones at all. And I think in the context of the fact that you see this team trying to keep itself together after that run that they made in the playoffs to the Super Bowl, all signs are pointing to the fact that they are looking at taking this core that they had. They're trying to run this back. We saw how incredible Fournette was down the stretch at the end of the season. He played four playoff games. Jones played three. Fournette, 21 targets to Jones, 2. Fournette, 148 yards as a receiver. On the ground, 64 rushing attempts for Fournette. Ronald Jones, 35. Now, keep in mind, they did play different games, like I said. That was still a 16 to 11.6 difference. On those rushes, Fournette, 4.7 average. Jones, 4.0 average. I don't really care that much about yards per carry, but the reality is the coaching staff and the team are probably going to 75 yards per game to Ronald Jones, 46. He was doing more with the workload. He was getting a higher workload. I expect that this is going to carry into the season. Real quickly, we will look at the splits for these two per the game splits app. In the regular season last year, for Fournette, in the split, meaning Jones played, he had about 9.49 fantasy points when Jones was out about 19. Interestingly, if you flip things around, Jones actually did outperform Fournette 11.45 when they were both playing and about 19 when Fournette was out. But the thing is, I don't think that those splits even tell the story that I'm looking for here. Really, what I'm doing is if I look at their points per opportunity last year, and I already start working on my projection like I do for the site every year, I get Ronald Jones given team play volume, and I gave them a little bump up in rushing attempts of about 15 or so, and I gave them about 7 more passing attempts. I get Ronald Jones on about 38 targets, 167 rushing attempts, to Fournette 70 targets and 171 rushing attempts. That's a delta of 36 opportunities, puts Ronald Jones around 164 points, Leonard Fournette at 217. Now, this, I think, is enough that it doesn't make either of these guys an RB1. They still could be vying for an RB2, and maybe we see different weeks where they're fluctuating. But overall, I think that this really makes you have to reevaluate where Ronald Jones is at and the type of player that we thought at the beginning of last year he would be heading into this season.
Yeah, man, love that breakdown, and I think it just does tell the story of the importance of the targets for the running back. And Fournette, even though famously broke out with all the receiving work in Jacksonville in his final season, and was not very efficient with that work, seemed to gain Tom Brady's trust, and that's good enough. Now we've heard some rumors that James White could be joining the party as well, which would really just completely crush Tampa in terms of who's doing what. But right now, I think with this two-headed monster, you've laid out a case where, in best ball leagues, provided that there's not a severe ADP discount from Fournette to Jones, I'm probably willing to pay up a little bit for Fournette over Jones, because if he does hold on to that 1A role, this looks like the profile of like a top 18 running back. You're giving me 215 plus PPR. So I'd prefer maybe to cast my bets on other backs. The one thing that you have to keep in mind, though, on a team that's going to score as many touchdowns as the Bucks, is if either of these guys gets the role and holds on to it, these are guys that are good bets for double digit touchdowns, and all of a sudden you're talking league winner stuff when you get into the middle single digit rounds. So, good breakdown there, Dave.
Yeah, appreciate that. And I couldn't agree more with what you just said. And I think that the signs are pointing towards Fournette being the one that has the better chance of being the guy. Let's move on, though, and you can touch upon this pretty quickly. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot to say here, but an interesting move: the Bills bringing in Matt Breida. How unenthused now about the Bills' backfield are you, considering the fact that Josh Allen put up more touchdowns than these backs last year? And actually, Rich Rebar tossed me a note on this on Twitter when I talked about the Bills' backfield, that they had the lowest, the lowest percentage of their points scored came from their running backs, like in comparison to team points of any team in the league. So an ugly situation, just getting uglier, right?
Yeah, it's just adding more noise. I mean, I think the thing with Breida that makes him a little interesting is he's definitely has something that Singletary and Zach Moss do not have, which is the breakaway kind of home run element.
Yep.
I mean, Singletary and Moss have pretty much proven to be plotters. They plod differently from each other. but the important thing here is that nobody in the backfield is going to get the really important high value carries anyway. Josh Allen has 150.1 rushing expected points over the last two seasons. That's second among all quarterbacks, trails only Lamar Jackson. And Josh Allen would rank 31st amongst RBs, amongst running backs over the same two seasons. If we were grading him against that position group, he is 11th in rushing touchdowns since 2019, has 17, and that's actually most amongst quarterbacks. So, you know, I don't see that changing with a player like Breida. They're not bringing him in to be the goal line back. I think with Buffalo, the big question is going to be, you know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
There's a lot of rumors about Najee Harris, maybe. Yep. Do they want to introduce a more physical element? That's when we can start looking at this thing differently. But if they go in with a kind of a three-headed, it's not a monster, it's like a three-headed kitten with these three guys in the backfield, Josh Allen would still be, I think he'd still be the rushing asset that you would want there. So I think it's, hey, file it under interesting notes, but there's not really a takeaway here in terms of, fantasy drafts.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. All right, Curtis, all signs are pointing to Miami rolling with Tua. Of course, that's at the moment. Let's check in on his dynasty value. I know a lot of fantasy managers were unimpressed with him after last season. However, if you dig into some of the numbers, there might be a reason to disagree. I'm curious as to where you stand. I do want to give a little context, though, about what you saw in terms of his comps from last year. So in the RotoViz range of outcomes tool, which we've talked about a lot on the show, you'll see that his closest match actually was an early season from Andy Dalton. However, though, it's a mixed bag. You also have Christian Ponder in there. His third closest comp was Sam Darnold from year one. Then you have Josh Freeman from year three, Carson Wentz from year one, which might feel now, like, it's not that great of a comp, but Carson Wentz had a little bit of a run where he was useful for fantasy purposes. And if you remember, a lot of people were really, really high on him. It's a little bit of a mixed bag. He's projected with 19 rush yards, 1.5 passing touchdowns, 225 passing yards per game, puts him with a median projection of around 19 points. As we roll into next year, some people are thinking it's very likely that the Dolphins add a receiving weapon for him in this year's draft. It's also possible they get him a better back in the backfield. It looks like this organization also has definitely a plan and a direction that they're looking to go. So as you kind of put that together, where do you stand on Tua? Is he actually a super flex target right now? What's his value look like?
Yeah, this is an important one to get right too. And I tend to err on the side of believing in this organizational plan. But there's also some other really smart quarterbacks out there that, you know, seem to believe in Tua. We can start with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick was, although he was disappointed when he had to turn the reins over last year, he was nothing short of a cheerleader for Tua, acknowledging that it was his team, it was his time. And then, you know, now that he has found a new home in Washington, he's doubling down on all of his support for Tua. Absolutely believes in what he brings to the table, often citing his elite accuracy, the number one thing that Fitzpatrick was impressed with from Tua. And then Kurt Warner, you know, former NFL MVP, multiple time Super Bowl winner, or maybe a single Super Bowl winner, multiple time Super Bowl participant. He recently did a three-part film study, like really went deep on Tua's rookie season. And he came away thinking Tua's got, you know, what it has to be a star in the league, just wants him to be a little aggressive and trust his arm. When you put in the context of not having a normal offseason, not beginning the season as a starter and getting those, you know, kind of early season starters reps during practice, the Dolphins not really having a great core last year. The starting, then the pulling, then the starting again. It just wasn't really like there was nothing that resembled normal for last year. And, you know, they add Will Fuller, who seemed automatic, like he's like, you know, hitting the nitro boost in a race car or something. Yep. For a quarterback like Will Fuller. Yep. Just he is going to change the offense just by being there. And so I think that's going to help the aggressiveness. Mike Gesicki looks like he's continuing, you know, on a breakout path. You mentioned this being a spot, you know, for an early wide receiver, perhaps. You know, Miami had the third overall pick. They traded back to the 12 and then back up to the 6. So they purposefully took themselves out of quarterback range. Yep. At the top of this draft for one of the three or four superstars, depending on how you cut up this class. They're going all in on Tua. I mean, they're going to put themselves in position to take a piece to elevate his game rather than replace him. This is not a Josh Allen, Kyler Murray situation. This is Miami investing in him. Probably Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase, even Devontae Smith, reuniting him with his former Alabama teammate. Those are three guys I'm really looking for at 6 here. So Tua, he's kind of, I'll stop short of target. But I think wides in a startup, you can be aggressive. And I actually did that. I'm in a startup right now. He dropped to the top of the 7th round. And at 7:02, I traded my future, my 2022 rookie first rounder for that 7:02 spot and selected Tua as my third QB there. And, you know, I think it's a good move if you find yourself missing on Lawrence, missing on Fields, depending on what you think about Wilson or Lance, miss out on those guys. You know, maybe slot Tua in there in that tier kind of QB 3, 4, 5 for this season. And I would evaluate him kind of at that level.
Yeah. You know, I love the point about Will Fuller, because I think that what we're going to see Will Fuller be able to do for Tua is kind of like what DeSean Jackson has done for quarterbacks that he's played with throughout his career. There's some receivers that can make things easier on their passer. I believe Fuller's one of them. And I also really am also hoping that they pull in one of those names that you mentioned. I think that's going to make a difference for him. Well, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think he is going to be a superstar fantasy quarterback. I do think that there's some things he can do, especially in Miami now, that are going to make him one of those players that has a little bit of a differentiation. And in comparison to some other younger passers, you know, a type of guy that I would be pretty okay with having on my team, despite some people thinking that thus far he's been a bit of a letdown, which I don't entirely agree with. That is going to bring us to a lightning round. I wanted to ask about him in comparison to Jalen Hurts, but I'm almost thinking that I want to spend more time on Hurts. Maybe next week we will come back and revisit him. But, oh, that's the lightning. All right, it's a lightning round. You are not limited to one sentence to answer these, Curtis, but I do want you to be pretty expedient in your response. And when my first question is about Sammy Watkins to Baltimore, I think you're going to be able to be pretty quick. Does this hurt or help Hollywood Brown?
I don't think it certainly doesn't hurt him, and I really don't think it helps him either. I mean, the problems with Hollywood Brown are all related to volume, in my opinion. He ranked ninth amongst wide receivers with a 25% team target market share last year and was 20th in air yards. We saw when he was heavily involved, I mean, he produced. He only busted last year because of volume, and unless Baltimore changes their offense, I really don't think that that's going to, you know, that really anything is going to change. And Sammy Watkins certainly isn't going to usurp Mark Andrews. So I just think this is we'll file this under the Matt Breida category of, you know, interesting, but, you know, probably doesn't change our behaviors.
Yep. As people that have been listening to the show know, I've just been unenthused about Baltimore for a while. This caught up with me with that first season from Lamar Jackson, but I'm sticking with this. You know, there's a lot of issues with the way that team runs as it relates to fantasy. T.Y. Hilton will be returning to Indianapolis. Curtis, do you have any excitement for him playing with Carson Wentz? Point of reference, last year, just two wide receiver one performances for T.Y. Hilton. You know, he was playing with Phillip Rivers. Last year, we're making a transition to Carson Wentz. What do you think?
I think Hilton's, you know, nothing more than a best ball target at this point. He's still capable of blow up weeks, but Michael Pittman looks situated to be the volume guy. Paris Campbell is going to be back. You know, the team still wants to keep Nyheim Hines involved in the receiving game. If Jonathan Taylor takes a step forward, there's only so much to go around there. Like, this is probably not going to be a fast paced offense. And we also think that Carson Wentz, he might actually be, you know, ruined at this point.
Yep.
Just reuniting him with Frank Reich might not be enough to save him. So T.Y., great career, underrated receiver in general, best ball target only for me.
Yep, and a keynote on T.Y. Hilton's career, averaging 15.55 AYA beyond 15 yards in the middle of the field. Carson Wentz with an abysmal 6.55 AYA in the middle of the field beyond 15. In the sample that I was looking at from 2009 to 2021, not what you like to see. John Brown, can he be a wide receiver three in redraft now that he is moving teams and heading to Las Vegas?
I mean, maybe like at the end of the year, he gets his way there in terms of total scoring. Nelson Agholor was just wide receiver 70 in expected points per game. So definitely outperformed the role that the team had designed him for. And, you know, presumably John Brown is replacing Agholor. So I will definitely fade the idea that Smokey will be a wide receiver three in redraft.
Final question for the show. DeSean Jackson headed to the Rams. Any cause for concern for Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp?
I think if anything, it's kind of exciting. No cause for concern for me. The Rams are clearly addressing a major issue in their offense. It's hard to separate what might be Jared Goff's fault versus what might be, you know, an offensive play calling or scheme issue. But last year, Robert Woods ranked 104th in air yards per target. Cooper Kupp ranked 106th in air yards per target. DeSean Jackson is going to be the lid lifter. So Woods and Kupp are going to have some room to operate. And, you know, he clearly is being brought in to run a bunch of wind sprints.
Yep. And I will say that I think the DeSean Jackson move actually has the most impact on Matthew Stafford. If D. Jackson remains healthy and we're still seeing some of what he was able to do, more of a reason to invest in Matthew Stafford than I may have mentioned in a couple episodes prior before this move. That takes us to the end of this episode. As I mentioned at the top, we are moving to be publishing now on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Friday, likely in the morning. Also, this is a big thing. I have set up a number that you can use to call into the show with questions or comments. If we play them on the show, you'll be entered into contests or giveaways that we have running. Currently, I got some pretty sweet RotoViz t-shirts. If we use your question on the show, you will be eligible to win a shirt. So the number is 978-615-9214. It will be in the show notes, but again, 978-615-9214. We'd love to hear from you. We would love to give you a shirt. And we already had one special, special person call in, and this is what they had to say.
This is the Podfather. Never forget, the Commander was right, calling Henry Ruggs being terrible and Jalen Hurts being amazing on the same podcast.
Yep, so the Podfather called in. Curtis, you made quite an impression on those podcasts that you have done for the Podfather, by the way.
Yeah, seems to be a really fun pairing. Sometimes, you know, people just click. I think what's fun with Matt is he really leans into his personality, and we've been having fun talking, as I've guested on that show, around the idea of, you know, caricatures in fantasy football and making it more interesting. I think he definitely fits the bill, but also super sharp. Yep. We've had some great experiences with my couple appearances there. Hey, Matt, appreciate you calling in and giving some props where they're due, man.
All right. And that brings us to the end of this one. Thanks for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Email us at RotoVizFFShow@gmail.com. Visit RotoViz.com/podcast for more information on listener-only discounts. And until next time, thanks for stopping by.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.